Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show, episode 120 today. It is Friday, September 16th. I'm your host, Kellen. With me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Tim here.
So on this week's episode, we're going to recap some more Note 7 recall stuff. It's now official with the CPSC. We know when we're getting devices and things like that. So while I know we spent a ton of time talking about it last episode, there's still more to talk about today, probably until we get new phones out and everyone has exchange and all that stuff. We have some new launcher news for Pixel phones. We have a Pixel launcher, which is really just the Nexus launcher, but now it might be called Pixel launcher. We want to talk a little bit about Android Wear, Motorola's new campaign against all the sevens that have been released this year. We might do some Q&A as well, because there's not a ton of hot topics out there right now. So we might do some Q&A, talk some apps, all that stuff. So again, thanks for joining us. Let's jump into this Note 7 stuff, though. So this week, well, I guess I should say the weekend happened. Well, I guess I could even go back to the show last week, right? We talked a lot about this, and we were like, yeah, the percentage of phones exploding, not that high. Some guy said his Jeep blows up, but do we know if we can believe that? And then over the weekend, some kid reportedly was setting a phone on his lap, and it exploded. And everyone said it was a Note 7. Turns out it wasn't, but everyone ran with it that it was a Note 7. And there was just more reports over the weekend. So Monday, we sort of said, like, folks, I know we talked about this and that the chances of your phone blowing up and doing damage to you or your property are probably pretty slim, but just go get rid of your phone already, even though we don't know when you can exchange it for a new one. And then a couple days later, well, yesterday exactly, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the CPSC, finally announced, along with Samsung, an official recall. They disclosed the number of incidents. They also told us when we can get new phones and all sorts of stuff. So it all kind of this week came back, and it's now official. I don't know what to call it before. So Samsung said it was a voluntary recall, and that's still what they're calling this, by the way, but because the CPSC wasn't involved, I guess no one really cared. But now that they are, everyone really does care.
Well, it's really hard to say, right? Like, what to officially call it. I mean, it is officially a recall, whether it be mandatory or voluntarily.
I guess I don't know how you do a mandatory one.
Samsung drives
around and picks them up from everyone's house. I don't know. Well, or you get thrown in jail if you don't turn it. I guess they're all voluntary, right?
I think it's more so on the end of the company, not so the consumer, where if it's a mandatory recall, the company is required to bring in all the phones or maybe do something more where they do a push notification or they somehow automatically shut them down or something. You know, instead of just, I've gotten a couple of emails saying, hey, your phone's been recalled.
Yeah.
Nothing that like would actually stop me from using my phone if I didn't want to. Yeah. So yeah, it's probably more so on the company side, less consumer.
Probably. So anyways, the CPSC is involved now. And so I think it just, the seriousness of it has ramped up. Right. And so they pushed out a report and, I mean, it released some more details that we didn't know. Like they said, about 1 million Galaxy Note phones are being recalled. And they're talking from all carriers and retailers. So if you bought it from AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, US Cellular, or even Best Buy, your phone could be affected. Samsung released an IMEI checker, which is basically like the ID of your phone. So if you have a Note 7 and you're worried about it, you can go on their website and check it, and it'll tell you if your phone needs to be exchanged or not. But the bottom line is, if you bought a phone before September 15th, you should go exchange it. I don't know that they're saying, yeah, select phones before the 15th aren't affected. I think they're saying any phone before that is probably affected. This IMEI checker could come in handy, though, if you, like, let's say you bought your phone off of eBay, or you bought it from a friend, or maybe in a couple of weeks, you buy one off of eBay, or you get one from a friend, or a used one, or off of Swappa, or something like that, and you want to check it, this is how you would check that. As far as number of incidents go, as of yesterday, when the CPSC report or recall release or statement came out, it said in the U.S. alone, there was 92 reported incidents. 26 of them were reports of burns caused by the exploding battery. And then another 55 were reports of property damage, which included fires in cars and even someone's garage. And again, that's only in the US. And those are only the reported ones. While still a really small percentage, I mean, we're closing in on 100 reports. That's something like that's definitely pretty damn serious. Like if it's one or two phones that spontaneously blows up, that sometimes that just happens, I guess. I shouldn't even say that because that sounds really terrible. But when you're getting up there towards 100, like this is pretty damn serious.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of a big deal. It sort of at least gives a bit of credence, you know, to like the jokes we were doing last week where we were sort of mocking the idea of your phone exploding, but now actually your phone may explode. And
it's kind of serious now.
It is kind of serious. And I mean, at first I didn't really pay much attention, obviously, by the way we were talking about it. But now, I mean, I have not turned on my Note 7. I'm just waiting for replacements to come into T-Mobile. Yeah. And so I heeded the warning, even though I really didn't want to, because I didn't really have a good phone to go back to. However, I'm working on like an Honor 8 review, so I did have a phone to go to. A lot of people, though,
they don't have a phone to go to.
Yeah, they're in a more difficult situation, right? Because they don't have 100 phones sitting in their office. So what I did is, and I feel real bad for like regular folks, right? Because I called T-Mobile yesterday. Once it was really like made official, I called T-Mobile. Dude, those people have no idea what they're talking about. Like they are just so out of the loop. In terms of like what's going on, at least here in the US, I called. I was like, hey, I bought this phone from T-Mobile and I would like to exchange it. And they're like, you want to switch your phone? And I was like, yeah, due to a recall that's taking place here.
You should know about.
Yeah. I would just want to exchange it. And they're like, oh, okay, let me transfer you. And this was the number that, you know, the SPCSC gave out and that T-Mobile gave out, like, here's the number you call if you want to exchange. Okay. So I do that. And then they're like, oh no, we don't have any, like, they didn't offer me a loaner phone or anything. They just said, yeah, go into a store sometime next week and they'll try and replace it for you. And I was like, dude, I mean, I've seen other people get loaner phones at least. Like, I don't even need a loaner phone, believe me, but like, at least offer me something instead of
right.
Talking like you have no idea what's going on. It's really frustrating as a consumer. And yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been at least three weeks we've been dealing with this. I can't believe that customer service reps for these companies wouldn't know what's going on. And T-Mobile's actually has one of the better plans. Someone just mentioned in the chat that Verizon isn't giving people the loaner phone option. I don't know if even AT&T is, but T-Mobile's definitely, like, if you go in there, they'll give you, yeah, it's like a Galaxy J5 or some crappy phone, but at least they're giving you a phone to help you get through the time where you don't have a Note 7. Yeah, that's kind of unacceptable. But
I was going to say, according to T-Mobile's website, the actual page is dedicated to this exchange program. They will give you any phone that is in their inventory. HTC 10, S7, S7 Edge. I don't think it applies to an iPhone 7. Sorry, even though there was no small print. So technically, you should be able to go in there and get an iPhone 7 if you want. But the point is, on the like the forward facing, like the social media facing side of T-Mobile and the customer service, very on top of it. But once you go sort of that behind the scenes, call them on the phone, maybe call a store. These people seem to not have any idea of what's going on. And that's what leads to my frustration, at least.
Yeah.
So, on the carrier side.
Thankfully, we know that September 21st is supposed to be the date that everyone should have stock back in of the phone. And in fact, Samsung says no later than September 21st. So that's what, mid next week? End of next week? Is that mid next week? Yeah. So next Wednesday. So by next Wednesday, all of the carriers and retailers should have stock again. So if you can, like Tim did, turn the phone off and use something else. Like maybe you have an older phone that you can just fire back up. And then by next Wednesday, and you should call your close carriers, retailers, whatever. I mean, you could start today if you want. Start today, call tomorrow, Sunday. They could get stock in. Samsung just said by the 21st, everyone should have it, but they could have it before then. So we're like we're almost there.
It's almost over.
Yeah. Now, once you do get your new one, Samsung is apparently going to show you that it's a new, fresh, safe, non-exploding device by changing the battery indicator, which is the little battery symbol on your phone when you look up at the top right corner. They're going to change that to green when it's normally white. I don't know how that works. What happens when you apply a theme? I didn't think about this. When you apply a theme, it doesn't change any of those.
Change.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't change the status bar. So in the status bar, you'll have a green little icon instead of white, and that's proof that you're using a new phone. So if you get one from a carrier and it's white, that probably means it's bad.
I'm not a fan of this, like messing with the UI, really, like to sort of indicate that you're using a safe phone. F me, dude. Like, come on. Great. How about you just put on the box, you know, or maybe like on the backside of the phone, like a little dot, like kind of where they put the IMEI and little the FCC label and all that. Just something small. Like, don't put a dot on my UI.
Or please. A big sticker on the box that just says safe.
Right.
But yeah, changing the UI, I don't fully get that. Maybe the first time you boot it up, maybe it just says like, ding, ding, this is a new one that's safe. And then it goes away. I don't know why you need to constantly have a green. And they haven't said if that lasts for the first couple of weeks. I would
assume it lasts forever, right? Because if you do sell your phone or something, the buyer's going to want to know that they're using a phone that's not going to blow up. So
right. So ridiculous. At least a couple of people in the chat are already saying, yeah, this is kind of a stupid change. You're calling attention to, it's like our constant reminder that the Note 7 used to blow up.
It was a failure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it should be one of those things where warn the people that buy the phone up front, put a sticker in there, put a notice in the box, something that says like, this is a fresh one, this is a new one, and then move on from it. I don't know why we need a constant reminder that your phone that you used to have probably could have blown up.
Yeah, so are we talking? So, do we know exactly what it will look like? Like the battery itself will be green, or there's just a green dot by the white battery icon?
I would imagine the whole battery little indicator is green. Yeah.
So while the rest of everything is white, the battery will be green. Mm-hmm. Man, that's ugly.
Yeah, the quote from ZDNet, who wrote the initial story about it, said, "The battery indicator at the top right corner of the home screen will now be green instead of white." So I just assume that means the whole little icon. I don't think they're doing multicolored icons. I think it's just green.
That sucks.
Yeah, see, constant reminder that your old phone was a bomb.
Yeah.
Probably not the best move there.
Yeah, it could have done better, but that's okay.
I would think so, too. At this point, though, they're probably also trying to go overboard with how they're doing this, right? Because they obviously have to repair some of the reputation, I would imagine. And speaking of that, we ran a poll.
Yes, deal poll is always good.
So we ran a poll 3 days ago. It says, how do you think Samsung has handled? And we gave you options of very well, well enough, not very well, and terribly. And 38% said well enough, 25% said very well, 20% said not very well, and 16% said terribly. So, I mean, we're pretty divided into four categories. Obviously, the bulk said well enough. At almost 40%, but
I think more importantly that over 50%, more than one out of two people say that they're doing a good job with the recall, which is important, right? Especially for a company as large as Samsung. They've got a lot of customers and they've also got a lot of haters. But it's good
that in numerous headlines of people blowing this out to be the worst thing to ever happen to a company in the history of the world.
Agreed. So
you're right.
For people to say that they're doing a good job, whether it be really good or somewhat good, that's a good thing. So you gotta give props where props are due sometimes.
Yeah. And that is actually, it's over 60% people saying good job, Samsung. So I don't think they've done, I wouldn't say they've handled it poorly. I don't know how you can handle it amazingly. I mean, it's just a situation that sucks. And when you're recalling a million phones, that's, you know, obviously tough to do. But I think just a million in the US, because the CPSC that laid out, that was just for the US. We don't know what's going on in all these other countries. So I think they've done a fine job. They got out in front of it immediately, right? And immediately started issuing the voluntary recall. I think they took some flack from some people who said they should have involved the CPSC initially and all of this stuff. I think Samsung didn't want to wait around. I mean, government agencies aren't exactly the quickest to do anything. I think it was fine that they said, okay, we think there could be a problem. We're going to try to fix it right now. And then they started working with the CPSC and whatever. So that criticism I think is complete garbage, but I think they got out in front of it. did it, and they obviously it takes time to figure out exactly the problem to make new. I mean, they recalled, I think globally it's like 2.5 million phones or something, isn't it? They have to remake 2.5 million phones just to replace the ones they've already sent out, not to mention they still have to make more to continue to sell them. So I think they did a fine job. I don't think they've been super secretive or anything. They admitted right away it was the battery. They didn't say like, yours is probably fine. I mean, they did drop a low percentage, but that's some of the politics, right? Where they want to make sure you're not too worried about their company. But for the most part, they just said like, yeah, we think it's a small percentage, but you should still turn your phone in. So I think they did a fine job. Mm. That's pretty much for Note 7 stuff. It's weird that we don't, well, you have one in house, but you're obviously not using it. Nope. Samsung's PR came by my house like 2 days ago and picked up the review unit I had.
What, did they do it with a bomb squad or something?
Well, it was so funny because they asked, prongs. Well, last week they asked for it back and I said, sure, send me a label and I'll ship this thing right out. And they said, no need to ship it. We'll have someone come pick it up. And I just... I remember talking to you about it going, wait a minute, somebody's going to come by my house and physically pick, like, who's coming by my house? And it was one of their local PR people. But when she grabbed it, she goes, and like I handed it to her and she goes, and it, you turned it off, right? And I was like, well, yes, factory reset it. And I turned it off. Here, take it. But it was, you could tell like they probably didn't want it shipped because they didn't want me to maybe forget to turn it off and then it blows up in transit or something. I kind of get it, yeah. But just thought it was funny.
It is kind of funny. It's odd. I mean, that's the first time that's ever happened for something. And we've been doing this for a few years. So
it's the first time a PR person has ever stopped by my house.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a long time. So, yeah. Yeah, so but it's a little weird to think that the flagship phone of the second half of the year, like we don't even have one anymore. Like we still have stuff we want to talk about, like our tips and tricks, and we want to do all this coverage still, even though we did a review, and we can't even do any of that. And if we did, it doesn't even matter because no one owns the phone at this point. So
yeah, I can't even use S Pen. It's ridiculous.
No, you can't. Now I feel weird that I dropped the thing in water all these times and then, you know, charged it after, not immediately afterwards, but
of course,
like I'm surprised that thing didn't blow up. And I took like a trip to Montana with it, dropped it in some lakes to show off to people. lucky I'm still here. All right, so let's go Pixel Launcher. So earlier in the week, well, I should say over a month ago, I think now, the Nexus launcher was released or leaked or whatever you want to call it. And Nexus launcher, it was expected to be the new launcher to launch on the then Nexus phones, now Pixel phones. It's very much like the Google Now launcher, slightly refined, maybe more simple, swipe up drawer, some other things. And it was okay. We played with it a little bit. I think everyone downloaded and all that stuff. And then this week, I call him Lab Twofer, but I don't know. Lab Twofer? Lab
Twofer. It's got to be
fair.
Lab Twofer, I mean, right?
Lab Twofer. So anyways, this guy, let's call him Lab Twofer, yeah.
Yeah.
On HTC, or on Twitter, he's been a HTC leaker for years. He always tends to put out HTC information before a lot of people. And so he said, look, here it is. Here's the launcher from the new Pixel phones. And that also then ties them, Pixel phones, to HTC, in case anyone still didn't believe that HTC was making these things. Anyway, he posted some new screenshots that said, look, Nexus launcher is becoming Pixel launcher. And we all went, oh, cool. So that means these probably really are going to be Pixel phones if the launcher is now called Pixel launcher. And then he like pushed out the file and was like, here, everyone have it, which is kind of crazy. I didn't expect that to happen. And so he pushed it out. And the Pixel launcher is out and about. You can download it. And it's really just, is it even different than the Nexus launcher? It's a slightly newer build, I think, but I don't know that it's actually different.
Yeah, I mean, from what I can tell, there's nothing new about it. I mean, it does seem pretty smooth. Like it's maybe really it's like smooth, a newer yeah. build.
Yeah.
But other than that, no new features or anything. Well, besides the awesome wallpaper picker.
Yeah, so the the launcher itself, right? It has the little Google pill clock search thing up top instead of the search bar, and then you swipe up to get into your apps and all that stuff. True. Is what it is. But like Tim just mentioned, there's a wallpaper picker that accompanied it, and yes, the wallpaper picker is the star of the show
by a mile.
Yeah, it's a cloud-based wallpaper picker that will be built in, and it pulls from 500px for a lot of its photos, and then there's a lot of the aerial sort of satellite imagery that Google's been using in some. You can set it to automatically change each day. With the satellite imagery, you can actually tap an explore button when you're looking at it, and it'll open Google Maps and take you to that page, which is pretty awesome of where they got that picture from. So it's very cool, and they will, I'm sure, continue to just update that since it's cloud-based. They can probably refresh it all the time, which is pretty sweet. So it's not like a huge new thing, but it is now called Pixel Launcher, and it does replace the Nexus Launcher if you had that installed. So I think we're definitely moving again towards this whole Pixel phone thing. That's pretty much it. I mean, you can install it on any phone. I have it on an S7 and on the 5X, and it works great on both of them.
Yeah, I've got it running on the Honor 8, and it runs flawlessly.
Oh, God, you would have to put it on that phone, yeah.
Yeah, the phone software is terrible.
It's so bad, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Pixel Launcher. Let's talk quickly about Android Wear. So Android Wear, I think we kind of mentioned this, I think, in the last episode, maybe even an episode just prior to that, where we talked about how there hasn't been any new watches from Motorola or Huawei. And I think we're both kind of been waiting for one of those two to do something. Now, the guys at Hello Moto HK that are big Moto leakers, they've kind of insisted for a good couple of months now that there's no third gen Moto 360 coming this year. And we think that was essentially confirmed by CNET. So CNET dropped a report this week that said, don't expect any new Android Wear watches at all this year from Motorola and Huawei and LG. And basically, from what it sounds like, so CNET reached out to all of those companies and they basically all just confirmed it. But what it sounds like is, where is that? Motorola basically said that there are too many trade-offs. They want to build a cellular connected phone, which I think people think is the future. And they said there's just too many trade-offs there that it's probably not worth it yet. Huawei sounded similar in saying that they're waiting for components to shrink and processors to gain efficiency. So similar deal, right? If you add connectivity, if your battery and your processors and all that stuff aren't good enough, what's the point? And then LG, I mean, they made the Watch Urbane second edition LTE, which I think actually first came out a year ago, and then they recalled it because they had some display issue, and then they re-released it mid-year and no one bought it because it was really expensive and huge, and it was an LTE equipped thing and needed a data plan and all that stuff. So they kind of said, you know, we're just trying to see what sticks before we build something else. And so these three companies, which are probably the three, I think, that we look to for Android Wear watches for the most part, none of them are coming out with it. And the holiday season's coming up. Mm-hmm. And holiday season coming up, while these aren't cheap, these are also sort of good presents, right? Like if you want to buy someone a pretty decent present, $250, $300, you get them a smartwatch. It just seems kind of like one of those things you might buy, and not this year. You got to go Apple Watch or Zen Watch 3. Zen Watch 3 is coming out, and it actually looks pretty nice.
Zen Watch 3 looks really cool. Yeah, like way better than any Zen Watch of previous.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want an Android Wear watch, you either have to go Zen Watch 3, which is from an actual Android OEM, or then you have the fashion brands, which are stepping up, like Fossil, Michael Kors. They all have watches out now. I think Nixon, I think theirs is also coming out now.
Yep.
It is like $400, and it's a behemoth. It's like 39 or 38 millimeters, and it's about this thick.
It's a big boy.
Big boy. I mean, most of their watches are, so it makes sense, but... so yeah, it's a little weird to not see the regular Android OEMs making watches, but there's other people making them. It's not like Android Wear is dead. And we do have the Android Wear 2.0 update's coming soon. So we need to have some hardware that can run it, I guess.
Zen Watch 3 it is, I suppose.
I guess so.
I'm not really a big fan of the Fossil Q Founder series. I mean, the Michael Kors watches are sort of, I mean, they're cool, right? But they're like expensive, and I just don't know if Michael Kors is like really a leader in like the smartwatch sector. I mean, they're good at fashion watches. Like, I dig their designs, but I don't know if I need an Android Wear smartwatch from them.
I think my biggest hang up there with those two and these fashion brands, right, is what's the support going to be like? Because right. we know they make, you know, normal watches and they sell tons of those, but when it comes to the Android Wear 2.0 update, are they going to push out right away? It's going to take 6 months. Like, how big is the team that's working on these? Are they outsourcing the software to like some other third party that kind of pushes updates? We don't know exactly how that's working. So that's my only hang up there is while these watches look nice, like, yeah, are they?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Are they going to get updates? The Zenwatch 3 should be fine. You know, Asus is a pretty well-known tech brand, and this is like their third. Yeah, it's a Zenwatch 3. So it's their third smartwatch. So I wouldn't think updates would be an issue there, but those other guys, you just don't know. We actually had someone ask us in our Q&A today, like what we thought about wearables and if they were dying or not. And I think we were both kind of had the same thought that smartwatches certainly haven't succeeded necessarily. Like, I think everyone thought and maybe hoped, but wearables in general probably are not dying. There's too many fitness related stuff that people are into, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I think smart bands and, you know, the fitness focused devices will continue to thrive. Because I think it really kind of, it wants people to get out there and get active and healthy. And that's always good for the human, but I don't know if people really need that extra step of connectivity, like to online world, like having the smartwatch and then having something else to charge. So Android Wear, I know like Apple Watch will probably always just be a thing now because it's Apple. And I don't know if people really think twice before they buy an Apple product. And they say, well, it's Apple. And they say, I need it. So I'm going to get it. And that's that. But Android Wear, these consumers tend to be a bit more picky, it seems. So they are also early adopters. So they adopted Android Wear when it was a baby. And I don't know if we're really seeing all the benefits, especially even from the big update that's coming for Android Wear. I'm not really seeing like some feature, some defining feature that says, oh yeah, I need to get back on Android Wear. So Android Wear doesn't seem to be doing all that hot. And if companies are not putting out more devices, then I think that's sort of proof right there, right? I mean, if it was a money maker, they'd just be pumping them out.
Yeah, if these things were selling really, really well and they were a success, these companies would be making more. I mean, we're heading into the holiday season. Last year, this is when they all released new ones, right? Like, we got the 360 second gen. Huawei Watch came out, I think, right around this time, right? No.
It had maybe to have been like,
it was like August, maybe. I can't remember when that launched.
It was something like that.
Yeah, but they were all ready for the holiday push because the holiday push is obviously always a big time. That's why Samsung puts the Note out right around, well, it used to be end of August. It sort of still was. That's why Apple releases a new phone in September because it's right before the holiday. You know, that's probably partly why Google does it too. It's just that that's the time you do it. It's going to be your biggest quarter. So I guess I forgot to point out that Google is supposedly making two watches, right? So we will have new hardware, hopefully. We don't know when, though. I think the reports on that is we may see them in a month when they hopefully announce new Pixel phones, but we don't know if they're going to be available then. Mm-hmm. Although if they're going to launch Android Wear 2.0, it would make sense that they would give us their own new hardware. So we'll see.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So Android Wear is not going anywhere. I just think the traditional players we've grown accustomed to having a piece in that battle just aren't. They're just not a part of it anymore, at least for now. Let's see. So speaking of Moto, they released a new campaign yesterday that is called Skip the Sevens. And they released this really, it's a pretty bad commercial where they're like tricking iPhone loyalists into stuff and then making them think it's an iPhone, but it's a Moto Z. And then they're super excited. And I think when they also announced this, they were trying to say it about the Galaxy S7s too, and Note 7 too, because they're all sevens, right? That was supposed to be part of it. I don't know that we've seen a commercial about the S7 and Note 7, right? It's just been about the iPhone. I don't know. You watched this thing. I couldn't get through it. How bad is this campaign?
It's pretty brutal. So it's like a focus group. And I read a comment on the post that we put up yesterday, and someone was very insightful. He was talking about how he used to go to focus groups all the time. Typically, the moderator of a focus group has a background in human psychology, etc. They can manipulate the way you think. You know, they pay you, they feed you right before you're going to go into this meeting, so you're happy, you're feeling good, and all of a sudden, you know, so they're like, okay, so Apple just announced the new iPhone 7s. What are you thinking? They're like, oh, I don't know. It doesn't seem like all that big of a change. I was really hoping to see more. And then all of a sudden she goes, well, here's a prototype iPhone. Like that's ever happened. Someone's gone into a focus group to see a prototype iPhone. And so she's like, oh yeah, Apple's been listening to the consumers. Check this out. And she puts on like the battery pack, the Moto Mods. She puts on the projector. One girl or one lady who's in the focus group, she's a teacher, and she's like, oh, this would be great in my classroom. Yeah, if it only, you know, didn't cost $300. So she then puts on the speaker, and everyone around the table is just like, wow, Apple is really listening to the consumer base, and like, this is what we want as a people. This is fantastic. I can't wait to buy it. And then she's like, she breaks the bad news that it's actually a Moto Z and not an iPhone. And these people,
poor people,
of course, they're like, oh yeah, wow, Moto, that's really, really cool. One lady was like, I could see myself buying this phone and all the Moto mods. That's like $1,000+.
Right. And she's an iPhone 6S person or plus person.
Yeah, I guess. But she's also like a teacher, right? And I know teachers are famously paid terribly. Right. So I don't know. Maybe the school pay for it. I don't know. Regardless, the entire campaign itself is so brutal. But really, now is such a great time for Moto to do something like this. I mean, Samsung is hurting right now due to the Note 7. And Apple just...
Well, they should have attacked the Note 7, I think. They clearly missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, but like Moto is still not in a place where they can sort of, I guess, directly go after. Like they can do subtle things, subtle punches and all that, because Samsung would just crush Motorola with marketing if they really needed to or felt the need to. But, you know, Apple is just so... It's like an untouchable to Motorola to where it's like, it's okay. I mean, because what if we're going to do this hit piece, this hit campaign, Apple's not going to care, right? Because we're Moto. Like, we're not like a threat right now. So it's okay. But, you know, they proved a point in that some Apple loyalists, you know, think that Apple is still, say, innovating. Not that they aren't. I'm sure they're innovating in some ways. But they prove that Motorola, at least in terms of like the playing ground, they're doing much more in terms of bringing new and sort of innovative ideas and features to the market, more so than Apple, you know, which is known as this company that invents everything. So it was a good piece, but at the same time, it was cringeworthy and painful to watch. Moto. And my problem is that we use the Moto Z, right? We reviewed it. I reviewed the Moto Z Force. The phones are just not all that good.
Right.
And the Moto Mods, while they work very well, they don't...
They're not compelling, no.
Yeah, they don't compel me enough to say, oh man, you need to buy a Moto Z with these overpriced Moto Mods like ASAP. They are legit. It's kind of hard to sum up into words.
I sort of feel like Moto needs a fresh marketing approach to just the brand in general. How many of these sort of blind focus group things? This isn't the first. Remember, they did a whole series of these with Ashton Kutcher. Remember, it was like you were behind a wall and they were smashing phones. They did that. They keep doing these like behind the scenes sort of trickery things against iPhone users. And I mean, they're obviously not really working, but I
guess if you have to, right. If you have to trick people into buying your phone, then,
which is kind of what they're trying to do, right?
It seems that way. Even to get someone's attention, they have to say it's an iPhone prototype. Right. Okay. Now you've got my attention. Oh, it's not an iPhone. I'm going to leave now. Like I'm not interested.
oh, this was all one big scam to get me to buy your phone. Yeah, I'll just buy that right now. Thanks for tricking me and wasting my time. I've never been a big fan of the trickery focus group stuff. When Jimmy Kimmel does it on the street, it's funny.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, that's funny. This is whatever. You're still pushing a product and it just comes off a little greasy.
Yeah, a little bit.
With that in mind, this phone, here's some Moto praise coming. This is the Moto Z Play. And I think it just came out at the beginning of this week, maybe. I don't know. I can't really keep. Moto has so many phones. There was a time earlier this year where we were saying, where's all of Moto's phones? And they're shrinking the line down. And there's like four Moto G4s and three Moto Zs, I think. Anyway, this is the Moto Z Play. And it just came out. I think it's like $400. And because we're in between, well, number one, a lot of times we don't review these sort of mid-range phones because there's only two of us. We can only review so many phones. We try to stick to the flagship stuff. But anyways, I'm bored right now. The Note 7's gone. We've got all these mid-range phones laying around that we should maybe take a look at. And so I fired this thing up yesterday. And it's like 1080p display. I think Snapdragon 625, maybe. It's got, you know, a decent camera, and it's the sort of stock software. And it's the same exact size as, you know, the Moto Z and stuff like that. But the battery life on this thing is nuts. So, you know, I live in the black hole of signal death, especially on Verizon, where I constantly have like 2 to 3 bars, and most Verizon phones last me about 8.5 hours. This phone I set up yesterday, I believe at like 10:30, maybe 10 in the morning. It's still running right now. Has 25% left at 11:40. So we're like 25, 26 hours in here. I have 6 hours and 45 minutes of screen on time. It's not dead. I still have a quarter battery left. That is insane. I've never had a phone in my life last this long. Like, look, here's the, I know you can't really see that, but
I can see the graph. I mean,
you can see the graph, and its screen on time is 27%. And that's not going to show up either, but it does say 6 hours and 45 minutes. That's insane. Why can't every phone, like the OnePlus 3, it must be the processor, right? Snapdragon 820 is just a battery killer. But like this 625 with this, I can't remember what the battery is, like 3650 or something like that. And a 1080p display, an AMOLED display.
Yeah, it helps when you're not pushing quad HD. Super, just quad HD.
That's what I'm saying. The OnePlus 3 is only a 1080p display, but it's that Snapdragon 820 and all that stupid 6 gig of RAM they put in for no reason. And that thing, you know, lasts a day. It's a normal phone. This thing is almost similarly spec'd.
It's a little thing.
Except it's, I'm seriously at 26 hours. I'm just going to keep going. And I have 25% left, so I don't really know that I could do math. What's that, like 8 hours, a little over 8 hours per 25%. So I could essentially go until I go to bed tonight, or not till I go to bed, till like 8 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, you could also turbocharge for 15 minutes and have another day's worth of battery. So
this is true.
It's, I mean, that's a good example of a good phone, I guess it sounds like.
Well, the problem is it's still that Moto Z size. Remember, like, I didn't like the Moto Z because I thought it was too wide. And this phone, I mean, look at it. Like, the chin is just huge. Fingerprint reader is good on it, but the chin's huge. It's just, it's a design I don't necessarily love in hand. It does have a headphone jack, by the way.
That's cool.
I mean, I think part of me is giddy over this phone because it just keeps going. It just keeps going and going and going. And I've never seen anything quite like it. And here, this is how bad the Verizon signal is in my house.
Someone mentioned real quick in the chat, which one is that again? K, that is the Moto Z Play.
Yeah, Moto Z Play. It's the cheaper one. It's the one that's $400. Okay, so my signal strength at my house on Verizon is -109 dBm. That's like the worst you could have. That's basically 1 to 2 bars, which I have 2 bars right now. You should be around 90, minus 90. I'm at -109, which is absolutely terrible. So if I wasn't, let's assume I was in a good connection area, this thing might last for 3 days. I'm totally convinced at this point. I'm a huge Moto Z Play fan right now. I'll take some pictures and I'll get back to you when I find out how terrible the camera is.
Yeah.
But at this point.
Is that a Verizon exclusive? Scott is asking in the chat.
It is a Verizon exclusive. There is an unlocked one coming soon. like they're doing the Moto Z and the Moto Z Play will be unlocked. But I think this thing is, I think unlocked it's like $500, but you can go buy it from Verizon for $408 or something. So they're jacking the price up basically to get no one to go buy it, which is so stupid.
That's the problem with Moto recently. They have not been very transparent. I feel like when they're going to release the unlocked GSM models of these devices, and that's
frustrating. Kind of announced it, but I still don't think
they sort of said around this time. Mm-hmm. I need some hard dates.
October. They said October. Yeah, they didn't even give us a date. They said October.
No.
So it will come out in October. Oh, so it's $450. It'll be $450. And it'll only work on T-Mobile, AT&T. You can't like buy the unlocked one and use it on Verizon.
BS.
And the Moto Z $699. That's insane. That's the unlocked one. That is insane. But yeah, look, if you want like a $400 phone, that's what your budget is, I would recommend this probably over the OnePlus. This phone is better than the OnePlus 3. There's a hot take right there.
Really?
This phone I would probably use just for battery life over the OnePlus 3.
That's a Note 7 hot take right there. That's extremely hot. It's boiling.
Yes. Yes, yes. What do you guys think about the Snapdragon 821? I don't know.
I need a phone to have any thoughts on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, there's my tiny little review. I haven't talked about anything else about this phone except the fact that the battery lasts 2.5 days.
And for you, that's a big deal. So
I've never had a phone last this long. I can't kill the thing. I'll just leave the screen on and set it there for a second. Let's see if we'll do it. All right, so that's pretty much all we had for topics, though. It's just not really been that crazy of a week. We want to do maybe some Q&A, though, don't we? Since we did run a Q&A this week.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so first question. Google has a fair amount of apps and services that seem redundant, but in some ways serve different niches. Do you see this as ever ending, or is this just to be accepted as what Google does and will continue to do so? I'm assuming that just means there are 80 messaging apps. What else is redundant that they do? Well, they have like that Spaces thing, which is like a group messaging hangout thing, which also kind of seems stupid.
Mm.
What else?
I mean, the difference between Google Hangouts and this YouTube Live and how that's sort of the same thing.
Wasn't there like a messaging thing built into YouTube, or did that die? Did that ever actually show up for everyone?
Oh God, I can't even keep track. The way I can call on Google Hangouts, but I could also call on Google Voice, and maybe Google Voice should just not exist anymore, and it should be sort of brought into another service that's better, one that doesn't look like it was made for Froyo, speaking just on the app.
Yeah. Okay, so do you ever see this ending, or should we just accept it? I mean, I think when you look at Google, this is just what they do, right? They just throw things out there and see if one sticks. And even if it does stick, they still are like, let's maybe go this way. Here's another thing. And now let's trim that down until it's dead. This is just kind of how Google's always operated. They run public betas for the most part on a lot of their stuff. And every once in a while, you can tell that they've thrown a lot of resources behind something initially, like Google Plus and Hangouts. When they were first introduced, like they were the thing that Google cared about. Now, not obviously so much.
Yeah, I mean, their baby tends to change all the time, right? I mean, yeah, Hangouts was like a big deal for them. Now they're sort of moving away from the stepchild that is Hangouts, now thinking about Allo and Duo. We have two apps. Well, one's already launched. Another one's coming soon in Allo. That should be one app, in my opinion. Like, I mean, I really think Duo should just be a part of Allo, or Duo should have just been built into Hangouts. It is a little confusing. By now, I'm just so used to it that anytime Google announces a new product, I'm just assuming it's going to replace an existing product that they already have that they just don't support anymore. Maybe a lot of times engineers will build one of these products, but then they leave and no one else really wants to pick up the gauntlet and keep the platform alive, like Google Plus, for example. The poster child for Google Plus, Vic Gundotra, He was sort of the pimp of Google Plus. Once he's gone, Google Plus sort of just steadily went downhill. Features were removed or at least taken out and built. So like Google Photos, that was just made a separate thing altogether. So interestingly enough, Google, like Kellen said, they'll throw everything out there all at once, see what sticks. And some things don't stick, like Google Wave. That thing was killed off before it really ever took off. They do this all the time.
I tried to use Wave once because it looked like, like a really cool concept. And then I remember opening it and going, what do I do now? Yeah, you needed to know lots of people with Wave, and that just no one.
It's sort of like that Google Spaces thing. Yeah. Like they announced it. Oh, looks cool. No idea what it is, what it does. There's already a 100 other products out there that do something similar or that do it better. So I'll just keep using those.
Yeah.
I think that thing will die too. So, I mean, Google Reader, that was awesome.
And that was one of those things they killed that they should never have killed.
Exactly.
What a stupid decision that was.
All right, Pete, Nathan.
So long story short, yes. Just accept it. This is what Google does. A lot of us can't ever tell what Google's up to. It's just like how we've had Nexus, and then a couple months ago, Sundar Pichai saying, Nexus, we're investing, and then now we're expecting Pixel phones. Like, Google just does these things, and I don't think anyone really knows what they're doing. Let's see. Does Android have a malware problem, or is it mainly media hype? I would say, do you want to tackle that first?
I'd say it's almost a little bit of both, right? Yeah. I think everything, at least, I guess it depends, right? This for sure is certainly played up by media that might possibly be looking to get website clicks. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but we, at least at DL, we don't really report too much. We definitely report on the big ones, like the quad router and the
stage frights,
you know. So if it's big and it affects a lot of people or potentially affects a lot of people, we'll definitely talk about it, write about it, but we're not going to BS you and say you need to download McAfee or Norton antivirus and to like pimp affiliate links. You just need to be smart in the usage of your phone, right? Don't go to scummy websites, don't download scummy third-party applications. You know, if you're really concerned about malware, uncheck unknown sources in the settings menu, just install everything from Google Play. Just be safe. You know, if Chrome says, oh, be careful, like phishing is ahead on this website, don't proceed to the website and continue to download a random zip file because you want, the new Kim Kardashian CD or whoever, you just gotta be smart with stuff. So at the same time, yes, there are problems. They do exist. But Google seems to be so on top of things these days with the monthly security updates that, I don't know, as long as you're being smart with your phone, I don't think you have anything really to worry about.
Yeah. So is there a malware problem or is it mainly media hype? I think, number one, I don't think there's a malware problem. Is there some malware on Android? Yes. Is most of the drama surrounding it all media hype? Mostly, yes. So, like you said, there's malware. We know that, right? There's security holes in everything in related to technology, basically, especially internet connected devices, right? And so, what we see though is problems with when you download phone or download apps, or you are on the internet in unsafe places where you download apps specifically outside of the Google Play Store, and so. What happens is most of the reports that come out are from a security company, and that security company has a service they want to push that will magically fix and take care of any issues you may have, number one. And so those security companies then create reports that say this malware is the worst thing and it affects 600 million Android phones. And it makes this really great headline. But those reports almost always include this tiny little footnote that says, if you download stuff outside of Google Play, like they almost all have to say that basically. Right. And you can find it in almost, and then that usually is followed up with solutions. And number one solution is always, you should check out our app suite. It's of security. It is awesome. And so most of those things, you just shouldn't ever believe it. Unless Google starts addressing them, or Qualcomm or some of these other, like the actual companies involved start addressing this stuff, you probably shouldn't worry about it as long as you're not downloading third-party apps and pirating crap and all that stuff. You're getting your stuff in Google Play, you're fine. Google Play has all sorts of stuff built in, including your phone. Your phone verifies apps constantly. When you download apps from Google Play, they're constantly checking all of the apps there at all times to make sure they're fine. And then after you install stuff, they're still checking to make sure things are fine. So Google has in place all these checks to try to eliminate. And each year Google releases a report that talks about malware, and it always shows the very, very, very limited. We're talking less than Note 7's blowing up, I think, the number of devices that have been affected through Google Play. So is there a malware problem? I wouldn't call it a problem, no. But there is certainly malware, and it can infect your phone if you're being stupid on your phone, right? And is it mainly media hype? Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, we've got a hype beast problem, not necessarily a malware problem, but yeah, it does exist. So be careful, people.
Yep. All right. Next question. What's your current carrier MVNO phone plan prepaid? I have connectivity with everyone because I constantly test different phones. I have a Verizon line, AT&T line, and a T-Mobile line. My Verizon line is hanging on to unlimited data just out of, I don't even know. I just feel like I have to. I feel like it's courage. My duty. Yeah. Hashtag
courage.
And it's probably a lot of courage. I feel like it's my duty to hold on to that thing as long as I can, even though I hardly use a Verizon line these days. And I hardly use them because I typically use GSM unlocked phones. And so I'm always in between AT&T and T-Mobile, but I'm still hanging on to that Verizon line just because. So I have that. My AT&T line is GoPhone. I'll maybe let you talk about GoPhone because I think that's what you're using too. But so my AT&T line is GoPhone. It's not like a normal AT&T line. And then my T-Mobile line is the T-Mobile Smart Soft. What the hell is their stuff called? I don't know. One of their normal plans that's it's the unlimited one. So that I can, when I'm traveling, I have tethering available. And that's kind of the setup I have. Not a T-Mobile prepaid. It's just a normal T-Mobile line. Smart Choice. That's what they're called, right? They were called, I should say.
Yeah. Are you talking about T-Mobile?
Yeah, because isn't simple it just choice. Now the Simple Choice? That's it, not Smart Choice. Anyway, so I've got all three of those. I definitely do not have Sprint. Will hopefully never have a Sprint account. I'm sorry if you're a Sprint listener, but their network is so terrible that...
You can't feel sorry. I mean, they bring it upon themselves, right? There's other carriers out there that offer competitive pricing, and they probably will give you better speeds. If you're on Sprint right now and you haven't tried someone else just because you're a Sprint loyalist, stop, man. Try out something else, please.
So you're GoPhone, right?
I am GoPhone. Yep. Well, I'm GoPhone because it just works, at least in my area. And when I travel to the certain areas that I travel to, like Northern California, Central Oregon, out on the coast of Oregon, it seems to work just fine for me. And I use the GoPhone, which is the prepaid. I rock, I think. And another reason I keep paying my bill on GoPhone is because they seem to keep adding in more data. And I keep getting charged the same amount to sort of match what T-Mobile has been doing, where they're giving people more data for the same price. AT&T is following suit. So now where I used to have 3 gigs of data per month, I now have 6 gigs of data per month. And I believe that even has rollover.
It does.
So I've got a ton of data because I don't go through 6 gigs in a month. Although, you know, there is like a limit and there's a cutoff, right? I think it's sort of... caps off. I don't know the cap, but whatever it is, I don't go through it anyway. So 6 gigs a month, and it's $60 a month. Although if you do $5 auto refill, it brings it down to $55. There's a $5 discount with auto refill. So $55 a month for 6 gigs. That's fine for me. And again, like I like AT&T's LTE speeds, at least where I live. It's not bad at all. So I do have T-Mobile sometimes, depending on what phone. Like, say, if we need to buy a phone that's just coming out, I'll get T-Mobile prepaid, and I'll pay for it for 2 months, 1 month, and then an extra 10 days, because to have a phone on T-Mobile, then to unlock it so I could bring it to AT&T, I need it activated on T-Mobile's network for 40 days, which is the biggest BS I've ever had.
Yeah,
they experience.
Have a really long period before you can unlock. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, and I know the fact that you have to pay for 2 months of service for 40 days, it's really odd, but that's what we got to do. So that's what we do. And T-Mobile's fine too. I have a personal cell spot, one of those LTE cell spots from T-Mobile in my house. It's pretty good when it's working. However, I've gone through two of them and they tend to just stop working sometimes. And say you'll reset it and it just will not connect to broadband. I have no idea why. They can't tell me why. I've called T-Mobile. they can't help me. I've called Comcast because T-Mobile blames it on Comcast. Comcast blames it on T-Mobile. They're both asshat companies. So they don't help me at all. They just give me a new product and then the product craps out again after a month. So if yours works, good for you, man. Cause it's a sweet little thing, right? In my house, I'll get 1 to 2 bars of T-Mobile service. When I got that cell spot going, I'm full bars, balls to the wall, top speeds, and it's awesome. But when it's not working, it's bad. So personally, the bill I pay every month is AT&T GoPhone.
Yeah. And I was, that's what my wife's on. She's on GoPhone. Yeah. And yeah, it's just, like you said, they keep upping the data limit. It's at 6 gig now. And yeah, it's 55. You do auto pay. You can also, outside of the rollover data, if you go to Mexico, Canada, you can use your phone there and you don't have to add anything on. There's no extra fee. You get to use your data. As long as you have the 6 gig plan, you can talk, text there and use data there. Which, and like, I was just in Canada, yeah, like a month or two ago, and used that phone there. T-Mobile, I could barely get service, but AT&T was totally fine. So,
yeah.
Let's see. What's on? Oh, actually, someone asked before we get to this one. Well, there was a couple Project Fi questions. I guess I would just say, I don't think either of us use Project Fi because I don't even know that it's that good of a value. Like, what's Project Fi? They start off with what, like a $25 per month fee for talk and text, or is it $35? How much is it?
It's something cheap. I think it is 25, maybe.
Oh, it's 20.
20.
So 20 gets you talk and text, and then $10 per gig. So I think it's decent if you're only using 1-2 gigs, but if you get up to, like, say you're using 4 gigs a month, that's $60. And for AT&T, we just said for 55, you get 6 gigs. So I think Project Fi is a good option for people who only use 1-2 gig per month. But like, I think even now you can get in Cricket for 1 gig is like $30 a month, which is the same, I guess. And that's throttled speeds. But I don't know. Project Fi, I like the idea of, and I like it that you can manage it all from an app and all that stuff. I just don't think it's that great of a value if you actually use quite a bit of data. Because Google doesn't give you a discount if you keep buying more data, as far as I know. It's always just $10 per gig, $10. So if you're using 6, 7, 8 gigs per month, you know, you're up to $90, $100. There's better deals, I think, out there.
Yeah, I see Project Fi as kind of a middleman, considering they use T-Mobile and Sprint's network and now Cricket's, I think, too, or something like that. Or US Cellular, which...
Who did they add on? I think was it US Cellular? Might have been US Cellular. Which has a network nowhere, I don't think.
Right. And it seems like Project Fi is sort of a middleman, where why don't I just pay T-Mobile or Sprint to have cellular network? For me, like I enjoyed the time I spent with Project Fi, but it's just more of a hassle, I feel like, plus, I mean, sure, you're sort of paying for that access to T-Mobile, Sprint, US Cellular, but then I know I'm not even going to be using one of those networks in Sprint. Never during my time, my month on Project Fi, was I found on a Sprint tower. Like, I was checking my network readers and all this stuff, and I wasn't using Sprint. So I would just use T-Mobile then. So it was nice dealing with Project Fi's customer support. You know, it's Google, so it was really great, and the billing was really transparent. There was, like, no hidden BS. But for me personally, just didn't need it.
Well, and the other big thing there is the phones. You don't get to use your phone of choice. Use 5X, 6, or 6P, and that is it. So
sort of a pain there because I switch phones a lot. So
yeah, I mean, I've been using an S7 most of the year. That doesn't work on it. Even this Moto Z Play that I just bragged about won't work on it. I'm just looking at the phones in front of me. I mean, I have obviously Nexus phones laying here, but that's a lot of the problem too, right? It's not really universal in terms of what we do and test, while GoPhone and T-Mobile basically are. So, yeah. Somebody did ask earlier if they think the Pixel phones will work on Fi. I'd say it's probably guaranteed they will work. I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, all the last three Nexus phones have, and that's kind of what Google pushes. And they'll probably give financing deals and stuff through Fi if you want to buy it that way and things like that. So, yeah, if you want one of the new Pixel phones and you want to test out Fi, that's probably a good way to go.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's see. This last question is, what's on your playlist right now? I don't know. I'm listening to anything new right now.
What?
I haven't even really been listening to much music lately, and I don't really know why.
That's like disheartening.
I know. And usually I'm constantly listening to something new. I was listening to like some old stuff. Let me find my thumbs up. I don't know. You can talk about if you're actually listening to music.
There's a band I really like called Ghost, and they just put out a new EP today called Pope Star that I'm really digging. It's just an EP, right? So not a full length record or anything. There's four covers and one original song, but it's a really good EP. If you like Ghost or like heavy rock / metal, it's definitely good. I also got back into The Weeknd. I sort of skipped his album that was like huge, but now I'm like re-listening to it. I'm like, okay, The Weeknd is pretty darn good. So,
yeah, that album, his most recent one, Beauty Behind the Madness or whatever. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a pretty good one. Did he win like a Grammy for that or anything?
He may. I know he was nominated. I don't know if he won.
He deserves a Grammy for that. And I'm not big into pop music. In fact, I almost despise pop music. I think it's generic and BS, but the songs are actually pretty good, and he's got a really good voice, I think, and I can appreciate music when it's music and not just like oomph, 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 oomph. So The Weeknd, good on you, man.
So what I tend to go through is just my thumbs up list that's on Google Play Music. Like right now, it's all over the place. Like The Head and the Heart, Brett Denon, to Chainsmokers, to Jay-Z, like old Jay-Z, to Dilated Peoples, Far Side, Travis Scott, Weeknd. I think there's some kids music in there. Nice. There's even Drake, Major Lazer. It's kind of all over the place. And that's just kind of what I tend to go through. It's just that list constantly. If I hear something like on the radio or something, I try to go find it and thumbs it so I can at least listen to it again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's all over the place. But I haven't had like a new album come out that I really have been listening to over and over.
Britney Spears has a new album out that I need to listen to. Like, I'm a huge Britney fan for some odd reason. Like, I mean, just because when I was a kid, she was like the biggest thing of all time. She was bigger than Beyonce. And if you could believe it, but
can't believe you just said that.
I know, bigger than Bey. So she's got a new album out that I need to listen to. And I love Britney. I think she's funny, right? And I think she has overcome a lot of the drama that's been in her life. She's had a rough life.
She overcame a shaved head. How many women could come back from that?
Yeah. She's had her men troubles and the media hating on her, but now she's sort of back and in control of her own destiny, and Disney's not controlling her, and I think that's huge.
Britney, I just heard somebody say it's completely romantic, or not romantic, robotic, and it just sounds like the most distant album ever, where she just basically ran into a studio and did her like robot singing voice and like pieced out, and they're like, let's push this, whatever, it's Britney.
Devin Townsend also has X strapping young lad. He has a new album called Transcendence, which if you like music and composition and epicness, dude, Devin Townsend Project Transcendence, holy hell, that album is clutch. Gojira has a new album, Magma. Dude, there's if you like heavy music, there's a lot of good stuff going on. I can't speak much for hip-hop. I wish the Fugees would make a new album. But if you like heavy music, there's a lot of good stuff going on. Metallica's coming out with a new album soon. Like, what is this, 1995? This is fantastic. New Metallica, dude, in 2016.
The chat's totally like, you guys really talking about Britney right now?
All
right.
Oh,
we can move on from Britney.
Y'all are haters. Someone asked us, man.
Yeah, we don't hold back.
This is open discussion.
All right, a couple of apps. So let's see. I wrote up an app this week called the Terra Collection, I should say. And it's essentially the sort of aerial satellite imagery that we talked about with Google pushing wallpapers and Nexus devices. It's all those same style wallpapers, but even more of them. So if you're a fan of those kinds of wallpapers, the Terra Collection has like dozens and dozens and dozens of them, and it's free to use. There are, I think, a couple of banner ads in it. And so if you pay, I think, $1 to get Pro, wipes the ads out and gives you just a couple of extra features, but I don't think there's any reason you really need to buy it unless you really just despise ads and you want to support whoever made this app. But I think it's sweet just because it gives you a whole bunch of those satellite imagery, which are great. Did you have an app?
I just wanted to, I don't have a new app. I haven't been using anything new besides Google's wallpaper picker app, which is like mind-bogglingly awesome. But I want to talk about Granny Smith and why there needs to be a sequel.
Remember.
Yeah, so that is from a company called Mediocre, and their first big title was Sprinkle. And Sprinkle was pretty popular, and they made a sequel for Sprinkle. I would argue that Granny Smith is like 1,000 times better than Sprinkle, and they did not make a sequel. They also made Does Not Commute, and don't think they made a Does Not Commute sequel, even though that game was awesome and probably better than Sprinkle. It just seems odd that one of their best games, Granny Smith, has not been made into a sequel. They could sell that thing for $1.99 and make probably like $1 trillion.
They would get so much free publicity from us. I would never stop talking about it.
And so I sent out a tweet recently. I was like, Mediocre, please, please, please make Granny Smith sequel. And I went to their account. I looked at who they follow. They follow almost every Android blog except for Droid Life, the one site that pimped Granny Smith more so than any other site on the planet. What's up with that? Follow us on Twitter, man. Ridiculous. So Mediocre, you're not listening, but if you are, make a Granny Smith 2 and be rich. So that game was awesome. Game. I know I played that.
Download. I need to test the GPU on this year's play.
Exactly. That game is still awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Bring it on.
Yeah. All right, that's about all we got for today. Short-ish show. It's not a lot of huge things going on. We're kind of in this, you know, like middle ground where we would still be talking about the Note 7 like we talked, but we can't because it's blowing up on everyone and we don't have Pixel phones yet.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I don't know. Be on the lookout, though, for Tim and I to do some reviews of some mid-range phones.
Yeah.
Not that we're bored. We're just doing something different. So, he's got the P.
About the Honor 8, let us know.
That's what it's called. I wanted to call it the P8. It's the Honor 8, which is essentially a P9, but an Honor branding.
Yeah, it's Hawaii 8. Shout out to Flossie. I don't know if anyone watches Flossie Carter videos on YouTube, but that dude's amazing. Love him.
Yeah, go watch some Flossie Carter reviews. That dude's awesome.
He really is cool, man. I hope to see him at the next like CES or Google I.O. or something. Like, he's the person we want to hang out with right now.
I want to say he was at the Moto Z event, and I didn't run into him somehow. Sucked. I would have said, what's up?
Yep.
All right, cool. We'll probably have some random reviews that we would normally do in the next week. Hope you guys enjoy them. They may even be video reviews. That's like a teaser.
Oh man.
Yeah, we may do some video reviews here coming soon. Anyway. All right. I think that's it. It is this was DL Show episode 120. Have a nice safe weekend, everyone. Peace.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.